1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. As we mentioned this morning, our subject for today has been living the Christian life. Something, of course, that every Christian ought to be interested in. What the Bible has to say about living the Christian life. The Bible tells us how we can become Christians. And the Bible also tells us how we are to live then as Christians. This morning we considered the learning, our learning as Christians, what we are to learn. We pointed out, and without going over the message again, just to give you the points, we pointed out that verse 10 deals with loving as Christians, to love one another. Verse 11, learning as Christians, what we are to learn. And also laboring as Christians, how we are to labor as Christians in this world. And then tonight we will finish off with living as Christians, how we are to live for the ungodly, because the Christian life ought to be different from that of the world. So this morning we considered learning as Christians. We noted how verse 11 begins, "And that ye study to be quiet." We focus primarily, first of all, upon those words, "that ye study." Christian is to study. And we pointed out that regarding this matter of study, we ought to endeavor to gain a deeper, greater knowledge of the Lord and the things of God. As Paul said in Colossians 1, verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." How do we walk worthy unto the Lord? Or worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing? Being fruitful in every good work. How? Increasing in the knowledge of God. That's how. So we considered then the Christian as a student. "That ye study." It's the student who studies. We are to study the Word. We're to study the Scriptures. We're to study the ways of the Lord. We are students. We'll always be students. There'll never be a time when we will be able to say, "I don't need to be taught anymore." Should we live to be 100, we need to be taught every day, instructed every day. We need our knowledge increased and have a deeper, greater knowledge of the Lord. We considered the student, we considered also the school. And the school being the school of Christ. But Christ is the teacher. Nicodemus said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." And the Lord Jesus is our teacher. Teacher. Didn't the Lord say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me"? Yes, we can follow the ways of other Christians, as Paul did say. "Be a follower of me, even as I am also of Christ." But we are to look beyond men. And we're to be taught by the Lord. Learn of Christ. For the Lord says, "I am meek and lowly of heart." That's what we need to learn, to be meek and lowly of heart. We noted also the subject. What are we to study? "That ye study to be quiet." Now, the reference to being quiet here refers to those who are busybodies are always talking, always gossiping. The Word of God uses the word tattlers. And Paul didn't want the believers at Thessalonica to become tattlers and gossips and critics of others. So he said, I want you to study to be quiet. To study. We pointed out the word there means earnest endeavor. So this is something we're really to attend to and work at. Study to be quiet. The word quiet means to keep quiet, to be at rest, to hold one's peace. To hold one's peace. When people get a little bit of a tidbit of a scandal onto the phone, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear what so-and-so did? Tittle-tattle. Gossiping. Paul says, I want you to study to be quiet. I want you to study to hold your peace. To hold your tongue. That's what he's dealing with. This is what it is to live as a Christian. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, Paul speaks about those of whom he says, and withal they learn to be idle. They ought to be learning the word. They ought to learn to be quiet. They ought to learn to hold their tongue. But no, they're learning something else. Wherewithal they learn to be idle. Wandering about from house to house. Well, they didn't have telephones in those days. And so they would wander from house to house, carrying stories from house to house. Carrying little bits of news about scandal. Paul says, I don't want you to be like that. I don't want you to be wandering about from house to house. I want you to learn, study, to hold your tongue. Study to be quiet. Paul here tells Timothy, with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers. Also, and busybodies. We dealt with that word this morning. Busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Busybodies. Interesting, isn't it? That Paul here says, withal they learn to be idle. So they're not busy as far as work is concerned. They're idle. But they are busy spreading gossip, spreading news about scandal. Paul says, I want you to study to be quiet. I want you to study to hold and be at peace. Now what the Lord said, come unto me all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, peace. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. That's what we need to learn. That now leads us this evening to consider laboring as Christians, because Paul deals with that matter here. Notice the words, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. and to work with your own hands. Do your own business, work with your own hands as we commanded you. Laboring as Christians, how we are to labor, how we are to work, how we ought to work as Christians in the world. You know something? A Christian ought to be the best worker any employer has. He ought to be the best worker. Because his standards ought to be higher than that of the world. The folk we stayed with, Brother Arlo and Francis Thompson, have been here a number of times. Arlo just retired there a few weeks ago. He was talking about an individual who worked in the same place. And he would come in late, but he would sign his card as though he arrived on time. He would leave early and still want to be paid the full time, the full hours when he's supposed to work. Well, that's how the world lives. That's not how the Christian ought to live. We notice here that Paul begins with personal labor. For he says, and ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. As we said this morning, really what Paul's saying is mind your own business. Don't you be minding the business of others. Study to be quiet. Study to hold your peace and get on with your work, get on with your business, mind your own business, your personal labor. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. He's already said that some were so taken up with business of other men that they neglected their own business. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11, for we hear, that's not good, sure it's not. Paul isn't at Thessalonica when he wrote this letter. He's many miles away, and yet he says, for we hear. The word has got out. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. That's not a good testimony to have. It's not a good testimony for any church to have. We hear that there be some among you that walk disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies. Now there's two references, two verses of scripture, which have basically said the same thing. They're idle, but they're busy. They're idle, but they're busy bodies. And here once again, Paul says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy. Busy bodies, busy with other men's affairs, busy with other men's business, but not attending to their own. Here Paul warns against this and says that you study to be quiet and do your own business. And the one who teaches us in the school is Christ. He's the teacher. And the Lord Jesus sets us an example. Whenever we sat at school in the days when we went to school, we looked up to the teacher. The teacher set the pupils, the students, an example. We look up to Christ. He's our example. He's our teacher. And we look to the Lord Jesus as our great example. And the Lord Jesus always attended to his own business. From his earliest days on earth. You turn to Luke chapter 2. And there in Luke 2, in verse 49, the Savior, as a 12-year-old, has accompanied his earthly parents to Jerusalem for the Passover. You know how, as they returned from Jerusalem, they missed the Lord in the... Well, they didn't really miss him. They had gone a day's journey before they realized he wasn't there. They set out to look for him. It took them longer to find him than it did for them to miss him. And when they found him, we are told, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, verse 46, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He was a good student, see that? We're to take our example from the Lord. We're students. The Lord Jesus was a good student. Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. In verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Thus dealt with us. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. In verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? His father's business was his business. And the Lord Jesus was attending to his own business, even as a 12-year-old. He's attending to his own business. John 4, verse 34, the Lord said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That was his business, to do the work of his Father. He didn't attend to anyone else's business. He didn't interfere with anyone else. He was focused on doing his own business. And that business was to do the will of his Father and to set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem and there to die on the cross and lay down his life for us. That was his business. And nothing but nothing was going to stand in his way. Nothing was going to hinder him carrying out his own business. The Lord Jesus is our great example. Remember what he said in John 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. 3 times the Lord uses the word work. For the Lord, as far as the Lord was concerned, it was work, work, work. And it was his own work. It was his own business he was attending to. And so, dear Christian, we're to follow the Lord's example and do our own business, not interfere in the business of others. Remember what the Lord said in John 17, verse 4, in his great high priestly prayer, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Paul talked about those who learned to be idle. The Lord Jesus was never idle, never idle. He was always working. As he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. While I am here upon this earth, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. There comes a time when my work on earth, as far as the work of salvation and redemption is concerned, is finished. And I'll return to my Heavenly Father. That's what Paul wanted to see amongst the believers at Thessalonica. Tend to your own work. Attend to your own business. Attend to your own labors. Do the work that God has called you to do, whether it is secular or spiritual. Wherever we work, wherever we are employed in this world, do your own business. As the saying goes, you'll have enough to do when you do your own business. Without meddling in the affairs of others. You have the example, you have the exhortations. The person who studies to be quiet will not have time to look into the affairs of others, but will be fully engaged in his own work. Whether it be secular or spiritual, as was said, we are to attend to it and be good workers for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, well-known verse, often quoted in relation to labor and to work. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now we cannot be always abounding in the work of the Lord if we're distracted by the affairs of other men and looking into other men's affairs, looking into other men's problems, gossiping and tattling. That way we learn to be idle, as Paul said. Living as a Christian, this is what it is. Living as a Christian, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, your work, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We want to fill our days with accomplishing something, with doing something, and carrying on our work. The apostle states, 1 Timothy 5, verse 10, being well reported of for good works. That ought to be the testimony of every Christian. Being well reported of. Good works. Wherever the Christian is employed, that Christian ought to have a good testimony in that place, that others say, see that man there, see that woman there. They're the best workers we have. That's the way it ought to be. That's what it is to live as a Christian. And that's what Paul wanted. That's what is expected of Christians. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what's expected of the man of God. He's expected to be a worker, a laborer. Now we're not talking about individuals who are ill or laid aside and are unable to work. We're not talking about that. Those able-bodied men and women wherever we're employed, we're to be good workers. Personal labor, practical labor. As Paul here in our text, in verse 12, says that ye may walk, verse 11, and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Notice that little phrase, your own. It's mentioned twice. Do your own business, work with your own hands. Paul is calling upon each Christian to put their hands to work. Christians should not be lazy, should not be idle, but should fill their own hands with work. For we will have to give an account one day to the Lord. What we have done with our hands. Have we filled our hands with work? And where we can, with our own hands, we ought to help others wherever possible. Ephesians 4, in verse 28. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There's the reference to personal, practical labor. Work with our own hands, and where necessary, where the opportunity arrives, be able to help others who are in need. This is living the Christian life. If we labor and fill our hands with work, we'll be in a position then to help others. Acts chapter 9. We have a perfect example of this. In Acts 9, in verse 36. And there was at Joppa a certain disciple. Remember the word disciple? Means learner. So we are students and we're always learning. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple, a certain learner, a certain student as it were, named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. Verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with. Dorcas was a true Christian. She filled her hands with work. And the work she did was to help others. They told him and showed him weeping the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Notice, she looked after the widows. The breadwinner in the house had gone. The breadwinner in the house had died, and there were the widows left. With basically no means of income, but here's Dorcas, and she fills those hands of hers with work and labor in order that she may help the needy. That's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to live the Christian life. Now you look at Dorcas. And you could say of Dorcas, she studied to be quiet. She got on with the work of helping others, laboring with her own hands. Dorcas was a woman who was less interested in criticizing others and more interested in caring for others. Like Mary, who came and anointed the Lord, and there the disciples cried out against her. What a waste. I tell you something, nothing is wasted that is done or given to the Lord. But they said, what a waste. This money or this ointment could have been sold for 200 pence and the money given to the poor. The Lord Jesus said, let her alone. She hath done what she could. That's a good testimony, isn't it? That's the way it ought to be with you and I. Ought to do what we can. Acts 10, verse 38. The Lord Jesus. We're told what his testimony was. It says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing good. He went about doing good. He filled his hands with work. That's what it is to live as a Christian. When I read those words, I always think of Joseph Scriven. I do. He went about doing good. Joseph Scriven did work in this town, and he cared for the elderly and the widows, and he would chop wood for them and bring wood to them. Nothing very glamorous about it. But he went about doing good. He filled his hands with work. He labored with his own hand. He hadn't time to gossip or tittle-tattle or criticize or condemn. He went about doing good, just like the Savior. So let us take to heart those words, if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody how they're traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a good man ought, if I can bring back beauty to a world upwrought, if I can spread love's message that the Master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Oh, my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. I was in a store yesterday in town talking to the lady who served me. Just talking about life and how she has two jobs. She says, I love it. I love the work that I do. And she says, you know, life is too short to go through life holding grudges. Now, this comes from an unsaved woman. Life is too short to go through life holding a grudge. She says, I just love what I'm doing and I love life. And she wasn't even saved. And yet how many professing Christians go through life holding grudges. What an awful way to live, really. What a terrible way to live. Holding a grudge against somebody. Always condemning and criticizing somebody. Where's the joy of the Lord? Where's the happiness? Paul said to the believers, I want you to study to be quiet. And I want you to work, to attend to your own business and work with your own hands. That's what it is to live the Christian life in this world. Isn't it far better? Far better to go through life seeking to help somebody instead of trying to put somebody down. Yeah, they've made a mistake. They've done something wrong. But let's not put them down. Let's try and lift them up. Praying Hyde of India, John Hyde. Remember reading about him, and in the course of his life, it is mentioned that there was some woman in his church or some woman that he knew who wasn't going on with the Lord. And he started to complain. And he complained to others about this individual. And then the Lord rebuked him. And instead of complaining about this individual, he started to pray for this individual. And of course, John Hyde was the mighty man of prayer. And God heard his prayer, and God answered his prayer, and that woman was restored to the Lord. Far better, isn't it? To try and help somebody as we pass along. Then our living shall not be in vain. In the last place, regarding this point, we have the precept about labor. Because here Paul says, do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you. As we commanded you. You'll notice how forcibly Paul is dealing with this matter, because four times we have that little phrase, that ye. In other words, using that little phrase, Paul is saying, this is what you must do. Notice the end of verse 10, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, that is, with your love toward others. Verse 11, and that ye study. So something Paul says, I want you to do, you must do. Verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So Paul's really pressing it home. This is what you must do as believers. It's not something that you, as it were, pick and choose and say, well, I can leave that. I'm just going to live my own life. No, if you're a Christian, this is how we must live. That ye work, labor in your own business, do your own work. Fill your hands with work and labor. This is what you're to do. Paul says, even as we commanded you. And when he says we, he's talking not only about himself, but about Timothy and Silas. We have commanded you. So this wasn't some kind of, as it were, a hobby horse that Paul had got off. No, this is what his fellow laborers expected of the believers at Thessalonica. We commanded you. And notice the final reference concerns labor. And of course, Paul wasn't commanding something that he wouldn't do himself. Paul was a preacher, a mighty preacher of the word. Paul was a missionary. Paul was a servant of the Lord. But Paul didn't mind laboring with his own hands, because we're told that's what he did in Acts 18, verse 3. He was a tent maker. And when the opportunity arose, he used his own hands to make tents, to help keep himself. No way was Paul a freeloader. We talk about people who are freeloaders, want everything for nothing. Paul was not like that. Time is going quick. In the last place, in verse 12, we see he deals with living as Christians. Paul wanted the believers in the church at Thessalonica to live as Christians before the critical eyes of the ungodly. Look at what he says in verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without Christ, that is. He wanted them to have a good testimony. Christian, we know from the words of the Lord, from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, Christian is to be a light in a very dark world. We're to be a light. Christ is the light. We're representing Christ in the world. Always remember that. We represent Christ. We represent the Lord. And if we represent the Lord, we better make sure we get it right. If we don't get it right, then that causes the ungodly, as the scriptures say, to blaspheme. That person says he's a Christian. Have you ever listened to his conversation? You ever listened to his language? You ever see his behavior? You ever see how he gets on? He says he's a Christian. We've heard it all before. Well, if that's Christianity, they'll say, I don't want anything to do with it. That's what they say. That's what the ungodly says. And here in verse 12, Paul is telling the believers how they ought to live before the eyes of the unconverted. Philippians 2 and verse 14. That ye may be blameless. Mark the next word. Harmless. We're to be as wise as serpents. We're to be as harmless as doves. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's what's demanded of us. It's not only demanded of us, it's something we should delight in, to show forth the beauty of Christ in the midst of a wicked, crooked, perverse world. We're to be different. Different. So as professing Christians, as followers and disciples of the Lord Jesus, we better make sure our living for God is right. Paul told the believers at Rome, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6 verse 4. And the Savior has told us, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me should not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8 verse 12. And the Lord goes on to say, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I give three verses there, three references. Do you notice the word should or ought? Romans 6 verse 4, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in newness of life. We should walk as those who have received life in Jesus Christ. This is how we should walk. In other words, this is how we should live. John 8 verse 12, I am the light in the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Shall not. There's no choice in the matter. Should walk in newness of life. Shall not walk in darkness. And again, John 12, 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. So it's plain enough, isn't it? So many live and walk according to their own standards. But that's not good enough. Not good enough. Paul says in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened. Word quickened means to be made alive. We talk about the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. You hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. He says it again, in times past. In the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we were in time past, but we now should walk in newness of life. This is how we should live now as Christians. That's it. This is the Christian life. We ought not to be living now the way we lived in times past. Most of you know that in my unsaved days I had an idol. Elvis Presley was my idol. I bought every magazine that had his photograph in it. I bought every record he ever made. I saw every film. That was in times past. When the Lord saved me, I threw out all the records. I tore up all the pictures. Because a change had taken place in my heart. And I was not for living the way I lived in times past. I must walk in newness of life. That's what it is to live as Christian. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath ordained. Listen, that we should, same word again, should walk in them. You have the witness of the Christian, as well as the walk, the witness. Walk honestly toward them that are without. That is, those who are without Christ. We're to walk honestly. Being honest is something that is consistent with being a Christian. Of all the people in this world, the Christian should be the most honest. Paul wanted them to live honestly before the eyes of those who know not Christ. Can you think of it? If someone's a professing Christian and they're known for lying, or they're known for cheating others, or they're known for doing underhand deals in business, no testimony at all. When I was a student minister in Oma, there was a woman there owned a shop, a store in the town. And we heard the news one day that her son had been killed. And I remember driving down that street, and we parked outside the shop, and this lady, the shop owner, came running out. She knew I was a minister in the town. She wanted to see me, and we went into the little store at the back of the shop. And she unburdened her heart about her son being killed. We took the opportunity, of course, to speak to her about the Lord. And I said, Mrs. Elliott, you need the Lord. Talked to her about the Lord, and she says, I couldn't be a Christian the way I run my business. In other words, she wasn't honest in the way she ran her business. She did underhand deals. And she says, I couldn't be a Christian and run my business. Child of God should never be like that. Never, ever. Not even a hint of it. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. 2 Corinthians 8, 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. There's an old saying, honesty is the best policy. That's especially true of Christians. It is the best policy if we want to honor the Lord and protect our testimony and maintain a good witness before the ungodly. In the world, honesty is a rare jewel. You'll not find it in too many places. The Christian is to be that rare jewel. The Christian is to be the rare jewel of honesty. The word honesty, found in all the references that I have just given, means excellent. The word honesty that we have here in our text is a word that means decently or becoming. Becoming. We're to live in a way that becomes a Christian. In Romans 16, in the opening verses there, Paul talks about Phoebe, who had been a great encouragement to him and to the church. And he said to them, when he was writing to the letter to the church at Rome, he says, receive her as becometh Christians. Receive her in a way that would be consistent with being a Christian, as becometh Christians. We're to live in this world in a way that becomes our testimony. it becometh us as Christians. The word becometh that we have in Romans 16:2, Philippians 1:27, and Ephesians 5:3, the word becometh means proper. That's how we're to live. The life as a Christian. We're to do what's proper. You may be tempted, someone may tempt you to do something, and you say, well, now that would not be proper for me as a Christian. So then you leave it out. So Paul says again, and with this we'll close, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. He's really dealing there with people who become freeloaders. If you work, you'll be able to supply your needs. Living the Christian life. May God give us grace to live the Christian life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving Father and most gracious God, we bless thee for the teaching that thou hast given to us, Lord, and how we ought to live. We confess, Lord, there have been those times we've stumbled and fell, yielded to temptation, been worldly. Lord, we pray for thy forgiveness and cleansing. We pray, Lord, that thou will help us by thy grace to live the Christian life, to live as Christians, that in the eyes of the ungodly, they will see us as Christians, and they will see Jesus Christ in us. Lord, bless each one of us now as we part the one from the other. Keep us near the cross throughout this incoming week, and bless the Reverend Irvin as he travels on Thursday. Give us a great Easter Bible conference. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.